This is Michael Wilson. You're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap, here with both Cody Carpentier and Matty Kiwoom from Player Profiler, our good friend and a man who was with us in the Airbnb in Indy. Fellas, we're back home. We have all the information. We have the notebooks to dump out for the people here. Matty, introduce yourself. Let them know where they can find you on X and what you're doing over there at Player Profiler first, though.
So over on X, you can find me at Matty Kiwoom, Player Profiler. You can get my mock drafts over there. Got a number of shows, game plan, trade gods. You can get all that at Player Profiler. And then also, Cody and I have the Executives of Fantasy Football YouTube channel and the draftrankings.com, so check all that out.
All right. Make sure and get that done. Make sure if you're here watching on YouTube, if you can like the show, subscribe to the channel. We certainly appreciate that. And if you're listening on any of the podcast platforms, we always do appreciate a five-star rating. Boys! Running backs, let's talk about them. Look, I said on I feel like we'll start with running backs because it'll be easier to get through than wide receivers. There's a lot more to wade through. But, Cody, you and I were the same, man, in our staff ranking sheet after the combine. We generally get a lot of clarity on this stuff. And look, one quick thing, too, just a note to everybody out there who are pro members. We're getting things updated on the Dynasty side with this new information that we've gotten. We're getting things updated with the with the release of the best ball cheat sheet and stuff like that. But just give us some time to get these things sort of re-engineered because there have been some changes that have occurred via some of these performances. No real big performances among the running backs though, Cody. I want to ask, you told me that Matty was a big fan of Jalen Wright. And I think that Jalen Wright from Tennessee comes into a little bit more clear focus here after he was able to go to the combine and be one of these guys that just didn't, one of these dudes that wasn't so slow, right? Yep. I'd said coming into the week, this running back class, we felt like it was pretty weak. And I was like, golly, man, if you felt like it was weak coming in, how do you feel about it coming out? Because, you have these guys show up and, your Dylan Johnsons or your Audric Estimates or, even the Blake Corum running a 4.53. All of it was always higher than what their projections were on sites like Prize Picks or, what you could find on the sports books and things like that. We didn't get Braylon Allen running. Is the top five cemented for you, Cody? Then I want to come back and just talk with – I want to talk with Matty about Jalen Wright specifically.
Yeah, for me, I mean, that's the thing is last night I came in here, got home, and started plugging stuff in, and – I got to number five, which the big five for me was Jonathan Brooks from Texas, Trey Benson, Florida State, Braylon Allen, Wisconsin, Blake Corum, Michigan, Jalen Wright, Tennessee. And then I got there and I was like, now what? Now what? Like it was just, it's a concoction of guys that I'm not impressed with. They disappointed, whether it was running a 4.6, 4.7. They came in a little undersized. Their tape hasn't been great. Tyron Tracy was kind of a big winner from Purdue, and it's a kid that was at the Shrine Bowl, and he was a part of a big group of backs at the Shrine Bowl that looked really solid. Will Shipley didn't run. Will Shipley's another one that you could potentially put up into that conversation. That pro day will be here in a couple of weeks, and we'll see if we can get him down in the 4.4s. That would be nice. That would potentially put his name up into that conversation. But really, I did get to number five, and it feels like a colossal-sized tear break down to the next conversation for me.
I don't even know when one of the first I haven't done any of my own I've gotten in these, Matty, I've gotten in these dynasty rookie mock drafts and stuff. Is we do them for content or we do them to help other people with their content and stuff like that? Is they're trying to kind of start feeling out ADP and things. And I'm not sure I've seen one of these running backs go in the first round, even in non-super flex. Is that what you've tended to see when you've had your guests on the game plan and stuff like that? If we're talking dynasty, just rookie drafts, 12 teams, even non-super flex, just these wide receivers, and that's going to be the bigger part of the show, man. They're so deep and good this year. You also add in the element of Brock Bowers at tight end, and maybe a couple of the, you know, I'd figure Caleb Williams going before the first running back off the board, even a non-super flex? Mm-hmm. How are you feeling about all this? And then I want to hear specifically your scouting report on Jalen Wright, because it feels like you and Cody have a disagreement there. I think he looks fine. I liked the way he looked at the podium. I thought, what is he? So he came in 5'10 and a half, 210, 9 3/8 inch hands. He comes in and runs a 4.38. He's only 21. He's only going to be 21 this season. So it feels like he's got some things sort of put together. I think he has a decently well-rounded skill set. But interested to hear your thoughts about that, but specifically also like your guests to come on the game plan. You're always talking to about dynasty mm-hmm. and stuff. Like, when are these running backs even starting to come off?
So far throughout any of the mock drafts for rookies, all we've seen is Braylon Allen creep into the top for the first round. That's the only name. And I think coming out of the combine, I think we can successfully say that there's no way you would use a first round pick on him. He had the third worst vert. He had, I think, the sixth worst broad jump, showed zero explosiveness. Cody was absolutely on point that he came in light at 235. And I know some people think that's better, but if you're going to come in light, you got to perform better than expected. You got to, and he didn't run the 40 yes. when no one burned the 40. Like, he just would have been amongst the group had mm-hmm. he been, quote unquote, slow. I don't think that did anything good for him. Now, does he look like a juggernaut compared to this class? Yeah, but this isn't Mr. America. You know, this isn't the strongest man competition. These guys don't lift boulders onto platforms. They run the football. So coming out, he's definitely fallen out of that. And now, after seeing the depth of this running receiver class, I don't know how you can even think about running back till mid round two in your super flex. Because I'm just staying with the quarterbacks. They're in the mix at the second round, early second.
Okay. Well, all right. And then what about Jay? Because we haven't done. I guess Cody did put up a spotlight on Jalen, right? But it's mm-hmm. right, Cody. But I don't think that you liked him as much as Maddie did. No. Maddie, what do you see in him? What do you like about Jalen Wright?
I like the size. I like the explosiveness. You know, on tape, he can get small through the holes. And once he gets out on the other side, he has the home run speed to take it to the crib. He definitely finishes his runs. He's tough to tackle. I think where Cody and I differ is we both have him in our top five. I have him on one end of the spectrum. He has him on the other because he sees him as a one-trick pony. And I'm not disagreeing with that. I just think it's a really, really, really good one-trick in a class full of not the sharpest tools. Sometimes you have to find the best attribute out of the – and I think he has the most home run power. And if he were to go to a Miami Dolphins, a team that plays open – it's going to be just extrapolate that value. I think he, with that home run power, he belongs in the top five. And I have him atop my running back rankings now just based on that one trick being, in my opinion, a difference maker in a lacking class.
What do you think about Daniel? I'm not sure this is Daniel Jeremiah's comparison, but I do know once he ran the 4.38, what came right up was a picture of him next to Alvin Kamara. And it was showing their stuff. Well, I'm just saying generally if the NFL.com people are getting those graphics ready, the ones that they show us inside Lucas Oil are typically I'm not sure if they showed it on the broadcast, but later I figure if they're getting that ready, they're probably showing it on the broadcast. And DJ's talking about how he reminds me of Alvin Kamara, and it's not just the Tennessee uniform, it's this and this and this, right? Because
I think that's what it is.
Well, but he wasn't a uniform scout. Like
34 targets in 34 games. That's not Alvin Kamara.
Fair. Well, I mean, but Alvin Kamara was criminally underutilized during the time he was there.
Kamara also ran like a 4.52, 4.54.
I'm just asking.
It might be a little bit of the test.
No, it isn't my comp. It's not my comp. I haven't done the whole work on him. The only work that we've put in over on Roster Watch as far as Jalen Wright is this stuff that Cody's put into his report, and I have not gone into it and added my input or my feedback into that at all. But I think with what I have seen of him, when you just look at it, the overall body of work, and you say, well, he's 4.38, some of these other dudes we're talking 4.53 for Corum, you start to just squint and you're like, oh, it's actually pretty good. And you compare it with Blake Corum, what he was, I feel like his on-field drills were actually really good. Like, I thought he looked good during those on-field drills.
Corum?
yeah, I just, man, with him, the one thing that I worry about is I even told you guys, remember we were there in the combine, we were there in the media room. He gets done with his media session. He's off podium with somebody else. Quorum is. And I was like, you guys have to go stand next to him. You know, you guys just, and you're like, no, I can see him. He's small. And I go, no. You don't know. You don't know until you just go stand next to him. I'm like, just go over there. He's getting interviewed. Just kind of stand like five feet away and just look at him, you know, and just think to yourself, is this guy going to, I mean, what is he? I guess his BMI is probably fine, but is he even, he was officially 5'7" and a half. Okay.
5'7" and a half, 205, I think it was.
Yeah. So 205. So yeah, I mean, you're looking there at pretty good BMI stuff. That's kind of Devontae Freeman type 76 of
percentile.
Right. You know,
it's still not elite, right? At 76, it's good, right. But it's not, he's not boom.
Yeah. Yeah, we have Snowman in the chat, MJD, a slower MJD. It's that same sort of MJD kind of package, right? It's that same sort of bowling ball kind of guy, right? So the BMI is fine with Blake Corum, really good college back. You do worry about the injury because he got less efficient from season to season during his college career, you know, but he was the beating heart of the national championship team.
Can I just be honest and say I hate the whole class? Can I just be honest and say that? Like, I think it says more about the class than it does about Jalen Wright. Like, Wright, in conjunction with this class, 100% I agree with, like, Maddie, his thought of saying, yeah, he's number one. He ran the 4.38, which was he was supposed to do. But I think the problem I have with it is the context of the class is, I think in reality, if we're all being honest with ourselves, Blake Corum's probably the best pound-for-pound back. But when you're projecting to the NFL, you know, we love it. We saw Jonathan Brooks ACL. We love what we're seeing out of Trey Benson from the testing perspective, but last year when the opportunities were there, LSU down the stretch, it didn't happen. It was like, all right, you know, it's handed to him on a silver platter. He never took it. Now with the 4.39, we're supposed to just give it back to him. Allen is kind of, you know, peeing his pants, and he's got his, you know, problems inside the line, in between the tackles. Like,
it's a hard time really catching is, the ball.
Rough yeah, time, the whole yeah. class is just disappointing. So I think that's really just the context where I'm at is, I think I feel better about some of these other guys than I do Jalen Wright. Like I've mentioned to you both before.
Do you guys think Jonathan Brooks just almost like did himself? I mean, you said Brooks with the ACL, but I mean, a lot of these guys have had ACL. Like,
if he doesn't tear that ACL, he's the clear cut, and there's like a tier between him and everybody else.
Yeah, but I mean, almost it's like Jay Brooks was kind of just sitting there and just seeing his stock rise. Just for it's kind of to me, Jonathan Brooks feels like the JJ McCarthy of the Senior Bowl, right? It's like it felt like we saw his stock artificially rise because Bo Nix and Michael Penix were both bad, you know. It's like all of a sudden it's like, who else is there? It's like JJ McCarthy, and I don't know if we're gonna have time to get into the quarterback stuff today or not. I know that Maddie did his charting. But you can, you'll be able to find all the updated dynasty rankings and all the stuff over at Roster Watch. We're in overdrive just trying to get all that stuff done. We promise, guys, it'll be updated soon along with the version 1.0 of the best ball cheat sheet. We just want to make sure that we're taking advantage of these ADPs and getting it right. Any guy, do you guys have anything you want to hit? Do we need to have an Isaac Garrido talk or a Marshawn Lloyd talk? Or we only mentioned Will Shipley from Clemson in passing. He said he thought he was the best all around back in the whole class. Whenever we got to meet with him. So that's the reason why we might want to bring him up. I think Isaiah Davis, South Dakota State, that guy looked, you know, 6'2 or 6'0, 220, but impressive at the Senior Bowl. Only ran a 4.57, but all these guys ran slow. And he looks like an amazing pass catcher out of the backfield. Looked good at the Senior Bowl with that, too. There's also Isaac Garrido from Louisville, the transfer that was behind Jonathan Taylor, and then Braylon Allen at Wisconsin. This dude comes out and blazes a 4.33 at 220. Can we talk about Garrido? I mean,
yeah. He's got to be on the radar. You can kind of explain away his lack of surface stats at the college level. Now we know he's explosive, super athlete, has the size. There's no doubt he's on the NFL radar, because what's the theme of this show thus far, 13 minutes in? That this class stinks. And if you can rise up in a small wave, it's easy to stick out.
Harry Snowman is asking our opinions of Dylan Laub. I mean, my opinion of him is, look, Jim Nagy, Cody was telling me, Jim Nagy was saying before the Senior Bowl he might be the best receiver here, period, playing running back. And he was one of the one dudes, along with Keelan Robinson, I forgot who the other one was, Cody, who the scouts wanted to run wide receiver work after the running backs were over. And he was over there running wide receiver drills. I mean – probably looks like the best, probably looks like the best receiving back in the class. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. he kind of looks like a receiver, but as far as his, what did he weigh in at? What did Lau weigh in at?
He was over 200 pounds.
I'm
210.
And the thing about Lobb is now you can put him in the conversation for the best pass catching back in the class because Bucky Irving came out so slow. We expected Bucky Irving to be faster at his sub 200 weight. Now you have Lobb who came in 5'10", 206, ran a 4.54. Why not? Why wouldn't he be in the conversation when even the NFL sees him as a premier pass catching back?
Yep.
That Bucky Irving 40 doesn't make any sense to me on tape.
I guarantee he's going to go back to the pro day and run some kind of cock, maybe 4.38, and it's going to be a big lie. It's just like,
Kyron Williams propaganda.
That's why we got to size adjust it. We got these sheets that Cody put together, right? The old system that Byron and I did forever with the combine, route scorecards that originally our good friend and former Roster Watch contributor Mike Band was put together. Cody was interested in getting these things back going and came up with some interesting results from just the on-field performances, the routes at the combine. But I think before we get to any of that, I think was the subjective stuff. What about the objective stuff, Maddie? Give me your biggest risers. Your biggest risers of the week, as far as this elite wide receiver class that we're super excited to be taking, like 10 of these dudes, even in 10 of these dudes in non super flex. This is an awesome year to have rookie picks. Mm-hmm. I mean, just through the first, like especially in super flex, man. Like be a year you can. People are going to get so tempted by some of these runners. They're going to let some of these quarterbacks that are like gold and super flex fall a little bit. And then if people get too quarterback hungry, they're going to let some of these just stud receivers. It's like everybody in the first round gets a stud in super flex. It's incredible. But what do you think? Your biggest risers in this awesome, awesome, awesome wide receiver class.
I would say probably my biggest riser isn't even the one that climbed my rankings the furthest, but it's the one that had the biggest hurdles to climb, and that's Rome Odunze. Rome Odunze, we had a conversation in the Airbnb lasting the damn near 2 a.m. about these running backs. You want to hear about some bros broing out? The three of us, 2 o'clock in the morning, pulling up all 22 tapes so they could show me some of the things I was missing about Rome Odunze's game. That's broing out at the highest level. And then he comes out, burns the combine down. He looks fantastic running the routes. He's a complete package. And I the way he's able to carry himself, we talked about this is Odunze and Neighbors. There's the two sides of a different coin. Odunze had all the moxie, he was charismatic, superstar in the making. Malik Neighbors was like the killer. He was the most serious. He had my favorite quote of the day at his podium. Someone asked him what he would be as an animal. And he said, Black Panther. Because the Black Panthers hunt at night and the prey don't even see him coming. He said, I like to beat my guys before they even know they're beat. Fantastic answer. So these are the guys that
Rome Odunze. I also thought of him as he's a very brooding force as far as his personality. You know what I mean?
He was. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, tails of the two different coins. But this is the type of guys that they had to climb. That's why Odunze now, throughout the process, I don't know if I'm not going to be shy at putting him at wide receiver one for the class. And I think that was a huge, huge, huge hurdle for a guy to climb, considering Malik Neighbors and Marvin Harrison are the 1 and 2 consensus right now.
Rome Odunze, the best route runner via our charting for the whole time. I think that he ran the 4.46, which is fine. That's about what I'd expected. I was kind of thinking he might come in there and just blaze and just light everybody's hair on fire and maybe run a 4.39 or something. That didn't happen, but for his play style, 4.46 is fine. You know, it's fine. It's plenty fast. It's not Xavier Worthy fast. You know, and I was talking earlier this morning about this stuff. It's like, man, 4.21 just feel like that thing just hits different than see it live. It hits different with Xavier Worthy from Texas than even when you watch other real fast dudes run 4.33. You're just like, man, that thing he just did looks a lot faster. It's weird. It's like once you get to a certain speed, it just goes into warp speed and it's something your brain can't imagine. And I think Worthy for me, probably my biggest riser. He was a dude who I was like, man, am I missing something here with Lance Zierlein having him as his wide receiver 17? Am I too close to the watching these Longhorns that I've internalized something about Xavier Worthy? And But now it's, you know, Xavier Worthy for me was a guy that I wasn't sure about. I'm not ever sure about these 165 pound guys. But I just, I, you know, we had that same conversation about Tank Dell last year, and Tank Dell just wasn't even the type of prospect that Xavier Worthy has been. He didn't, you know, like we're talking about a kid that broke out, I think, before he even turned 18, you know, just an elite track star. Said he would have ran a 10-1 if he was able to participate in California during his senior year in any kind of sports, because California had sports shut down for, you know, a lot longer than some of the other states because of the government's response to COVID. So it was like, for me, it really clarified for me that I have to have Xavier Worthy in my top five. Somebody's going to trade up for him. They're going to want to get ahead of the Chiefs. They're not going to give Mahomes, who tweeted out the peeping eyes emojis whenever he hit, you know, whenever he ran that. They're not going to let him get to Patrick Mahomes. They're not going to let him be the next Tyreek Hill. So somebody's going to trade up and get him. They're going to have every incentive to get him on the football field early with that first round capital. So for me, it's impossible to keep him out. I think he's probably my biggest riser of the week personally. Cody?
I just got done, you know, inputting these grades that we finished giving them. And Odunze, obviously, as you mentioned, came in as number one, but comparing him to last year's class, and we obviously had a lot of high praise for Charlie Jones from Purdue, Tank Dell, Josh Downs. But Rome tied Puka Nacua for fourth if you combine this year and last year's class just in the route running on the field at the combine. But probably my biggest riser in totality from all of the routes has to be two guys, probably Jaquan Jackson being one that just seemed like he was consistently just doing the right things. And another one.
From
Tulane, correct. And he was at the Senior Bowl, and to be honest with you, he was one where we started out and we didn't love the tape at Tulane. And then the Senior Bowl was mediocre. It was fine. And he's just grown through the process. He got better as the week went on at the Senior Bowl. And then here, I think the number was 4-4. I mean, all these guys. This also, the statistic, I think it was Scott Barrett tweeted out, but this was the fastest wide receiver class of all time at the NFL Combine. And one of those guys, Jaquan Jackson, ran a 4.42. He came in with pretty decent measurables. He's got some long arms, 190 pounds, 5'9". He should be fine. He should translate pretty well. But I think the biggest – it's not the biggest riser, but it's one that feels like it's maybe going under-conversed right now is – I think Brendan Rice still being top 10. Like, I don't, a lot of people are talking about Brian Thomas. A lot of people are talking about Adonai, Xavier, McConkey. A lot of people are talking about a lot of these guys, but Brendan Rice for me still being top 10, just checking boxes off. 4.50 was perfectly fine at 6'2", 212, I thought. And I just continue to look forward to him progressing through the process, making it to the pros. I think he's a very solid, sudden wide receiver too at the next level. And I, you know, that write-up was, I think that was one of the first or second write-ups I did over Roster Watch earlier this spring. But and maybe he's not the biggest of risers, but more so just like keeping his name in that conversation for me. Yeah, holding his own, checking the boxes.
Yeah. Did I forgot if he broke 4.5 or whether he was at 4.5.
4.5 flat.
4.5 flat. We were thinking to ourselves, man, we would have really loved the old psychological barrier of the, like, kind of like the old $9.99 instead of $10. Like, you feel a little bit better about spending $10.99, like a 4.49 would have been cool. But very, very, very little difference in that. And he did a great job with his route running. So, Cody, you think as far as, we can talk about some of the route running, like, guys, but I think that as far as, don't you think that you have to consider Adonai Mitchell is just on the totality of the workouts and stuff? The fact, 97th percentile broad jump, 95th percentile 40, 91st percentile vertical. Xavier Worthy doesn't run 4.2. We're talking about how Adonai, you know, blows up Lucas Oil Stadium. He snatched the riser, you know, right?
He snatched the 100%. He snatched the wide receiver 4 spot. From Thomas, from Franklin, I think from anybody else. I know you're going to have the conversation of Xavier Worthy there, but for me, it feels like Adonai just took it. He, you know, he came in 205 pounds. We've seen enough on the tape to know what Adonai is. And it was interesting that he did mention, you know, I don't run all these routes full speed. And then, you know, I think he quite literally said, I don't ever run a route full speed, or I never did, or something like that. And then he came out and ran a 4.34 after the expectation of, you know, maybe 4.52. Is that probably what Adonai is going to run? It just, the athleticism is not something that we envisioned, I don't think, at all. And again, Alex, we've been watching him all year. We heard George Pickens give him glowing reviews 2 years ago. And when you do watch him contort in the end zone and make those plays, make those big catches in the end zone that he does on a weekly basis, how did we not expect, you know, something north of a 38 vertical? How do we not expect a 10 and a half plus foot broad jumps 11-4? Like, yeah, that's top of the line. I don't know how you could have expected that, but I think he clearly jumps himself into that 4-5 conversation for, should be for everybody.
I think both Texas guys do, right? They're yeah, 4-5, however you want to dice it.
Well, I just, that kind of goes. Any other risers before we talk about dudes who might have fallen for us? I mean,
Leggett.
Like Xavier Leggett, I wanted to mention, and we could talk about why. I don't know. I mean, for me, I've always been high on Ladd McConkey, but to me, that feels sort of like how Cody is with Brendan Rice. I feel like he acquitted himself really well this weekend. I forgot what he ran, but it was plenty fast. What was it, a 4.3?
3.9.
4.39. So you get the old 9.99 there, the little psychological bump. I thought Jalen McMillan from Washington showed that he's just showed what I thought he was going to show, that he's just a really good route runner, a really good slot receiver type of guy. I, for some reason, I didn't have Ricky Pearsall. I thought I'd have him rated better with his routes. He really impressed me with some of his route running and just his hands. I really continue to like Ricky Pearsall. And then the other one I'll just mention, Roman Wilson for me. Somebody asked about him. There's somebody asking about Ryan Flournoy. Terrell, what's up to you guys? Mm-hmm. I won. Anthony Snowman, of course. I looked at Cody through the Senior Bowl about Flournoy for Southeastern Missouri State. I looked at him through the combine. I'm like, man, Flournoy's just always a steady Eddie, man. He's like, he's pretty good. He's pretty good, you know? So those would be the ones for me. I'm not sure if it's, and maybe Isaiah Williams from Illinois. I'm not sure if you guys had how you had him on the routes. Any other guys just on the periphery there, as far as, you know, guys you'd be like, man, after this week, it felt like they were a definite riser for you.
I also had Malik Washington, because Malik Washington, I got to see him in person. I know Cody did down in Frisco, but now I got a chance to see him in person. He's pretty he's pretty jacked. I mean, I think he's going to be able to hold his own in the NFL. And he's got a little that we're all exhausted of saying Tank Dell, aren't we? We're exhausted of the comp. But again, I think the real true reason why Tank Dell was exciting was led the nation in receiving. Malik Washington has that in his bag. He was one of the top leading receivers in the nation, and he looked pretty good running routes. He measured well in a number of the key workout metrics. So Malik Washington is someone that is going to jump ahead of some of the other kind of iffy players that we've kind of been ranking over the last few weeks.
Let's talk about fallers at wide receiver. And look, to me, I know it's not popular right now to say that I felt like Brian Thomas Jr. fell for me and that Troy Franklin fell for me. Here's how this thing works. Troy Franklin, Cody, you know better than I do, just off the top of your head, what he played at last year. But I remember knowing that he came in light, and he
10 pounds light.
10 pounds light. So Troy Franklin from Oregon, 6'2", 176, only 8 3/4 inch hands. So his hands are under 9 inches. Not a natural catcher of the football, runs a 4.40 when everybody's projecting him to, you know, all of his props were down there at 4.35, 4.36. And, you know, there are certainly things to like about him. The yards per route run was good, right? In college, like stuff like this. Whenever you watch his film, you see that he's a good outside weapon that probably needs some work on his routes and things like that. And to me, just watching these guys run their routes and do their work, Franklin and Brian Thomas specifically. Brian Thomas is a little bit more unpopular, right? Because Brian Thomas, you know, comes in from LSU, 6'3", 209, runs a 4.33, right? People just automatically say, like, all right, well, there he is, wide receiver 4. Some of the things that, you know, Cody, we had said before about just the success downfield and the limited route tree, stuff like that, right? His on-field testing, the on-field drills, the route running and stuff like that. There was no some of these other guys, you, like there's just like there's no economy of motion with that guy. It's very herky jerky. It's somewhat lumbering. It's one thing to run in a straight line. It's another thing to get out of these breaks and stuff like that. And you just look at him, and I just said, he looks like some of these other LSU. We've seen the DJ Charks of the world and stuff like this. So he fell a little bit for me. Then that also has to do with the fact that Xavier Worthy and Adonai Mitchell, the Texas guys, had such big days, right? I can't have these guys above Xavier Worthy or Adonai Mitchell after they've tested like this and after we've seen what we've seen on the over the course of this season. You got to be crazy, man. So that's sort of my two biggest followers. I know it's not popular to say, it's not fun to say two of the ones that people love the most, but for me, I have to move them down the board.
I didn't have Brian Thomas horrible on the gauntlet, but the points he got for the gauntlet, he actually scored negative overall on the on-field route running, and it ended up putting him, you know, bottom six combined each of the last 2 years, below the Jalen Brookses from last year, Jason Brownlee, Joe Nagata. These guys you can't even remember. And I mean, that also lumps him right in with, you know, Troy Franklin, Devontae Walker. I think these were the three that did suffer the biggest fall. And people are going to, like you just mentioned, on the surface, Brian Thomas, 4-3-3 at 209. I saw that tweet a bunch this weekend. You also bring up Devontae Walker. He hits the 4-3-6, and everyone's excited about it. He's 197 pounds. Should he rise back up? If you watched on the field, we did not have him graded as high. And then as with Franklin, Franklin's a guy that
senior,
I was.
I've never been a big.
The Senior Bowl was horrible. I'm talking about before the Senior Bowl, DJ had a mock of him going in the first round and things like that. And a lot of people jumped on that train. And he's just been a fan favorite, I guess I'd say, since September when the NCAA thing happened. And that was just like an artificial, we love this guy, and he's fine, college football player, but we're talking about taking the next leap up. And then Troy Franklin was one that, like you mentioned, should have been 6'3", should have been 187, came in 10 pounds light and in short, under 9-inch hands, ran significantly slower at the smaller weight. And I think those are the three big names that none of them ran slower than 4.41, which is extremely fast, but the on-field stuff really is what tanked it. And I think that's one conversation that we're having right now that really nobody on Twitter is. And if you go scroll on there, it's all these people
40.
Loving the 40, loving this stuff. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm not going to interact with them, but it's, did you watch the on-field workouts? Like this is why this is so important. This is why, you know, and they emphasize the gauntlet on TV. I get that, but watching every single route and, you know, and seeing who it's coming from and the accuracy of that, that's one thing that we'll talk about here in a minute, because Maddie charted the passing, but Alex and I charted the receiving, and it was kind of deflating to see, you know, a class that we do love, a lot of these guys, three high-end names underperform significantly. And if you compare it to last year's class, it's no dice for Brian Thomas, Troy Franklin, and Devontae Walker.
Maddie Kiwim could have run that gauntlet drill better than Troy Franklin did. Maddie, just tell us before we get out of here, tell us what the findings were from the quarterbacks, which ones were performed best as far as their accuracy during the day through the two groups. Do you have that data available? You said you sent it. I haven't even looked yet, so I'll find out along with the audience.
So overall, the top graded passers were McCarthy and Penix. Penix had the most, probably most good to great throws. Nix had the most great throws on the day, but hit the rest of his day was rough. But I think with the overall sentiment of the quarterback class, or at least the ones that participate in the combine, is there's a reason why you can go look anywhere, whether it be on X or websites or beat writers, that you will find 10 different reports about who performed the best, and that's because no one really stuck out. In my opinion, the most impressive thing from the quarterback class was J.J. McCarthy coming in at 219. I think that is the biggest, most important takeaway, because now that puts him in firmly, in my opinion, in the top 10, top 12 conversation. So in our Superflex class, we will have now a fourth quarterback with tremendous draft capital, with confidence in their franchise and whatnot. And yeah, the quarterbacks was not great. I saw highlight films. People be like, look at Bo Nix ripping this up. And it's like continuous – you know, making receivers turn backwards on the slant, or the big catch, his big throw downfield to Ryan Flournoy. That was actually a great extension catch from Flournoy. I think you guys probably charted the catch better than I would have charted the quarterback throw. And it just seemed like over and over again, these guys were just not great. Not overwhelmingly positive. Penix clearly has a great arm. There's no doubting that. But I don't know. Does the NFL see Penix as a true game changer when you look at these weapons? I mean, McMillan was good. Polk's good. Rome might be the best. This guy has those weapons. It's kind of a little bit of a crutch, I guess, when you come to the evaluation process. But this quarterback class, it's dominated by the top three. At least from the combine point of view, no one really stood out.
Cody, speaking of Superflex, so the top three dominates, right? You get J.J. McCarthy in there. After that, in your Superflex leagues, what about Mr. Milton? After this weekend, are you all in on Bazooka Joe?
I am all in on fifth round Bazooka Joe.